Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
With the third pick in the 2022 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select Derek Stingley Jr., defensive back, LSU. With the 15th pick in the 2022 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select Kenyon Green, guard, Texas A&M.
Well, good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance, we're both in different spots. I'm in Houston. I'm at Pine Forest Country Club, actually, where we're going to have our member guest this weekend. So I am here. Lance is in L.A., tired but heroic. My man hit both picks last night, and nobody else had the Stingley-Green combination except Lance Zierlein. Lance, nice job last night.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. It was, that's great to hit picks. I'm hoping that Nick Caserio hits the picks. That's the most important thing is.
Well, let's talk about that.
He hits his picks.
I'm hearing a lot of people talking about how he messed it up. You should have taken Sauce. You should have blah, 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 blah. No one knows. Derek Stingley could be a great, great player. He could be locked down. He's probably better in one-on-one than Sauce is. He's got the 2 years ago, the dude was the man, possibly, you know, and obviously a top three pick, and then Kenyon Green. But let's start with Stingley, and let's talk about picking him as opposed to Sauce. What do you think?
Well, so, you know, it's going to get down to what the work is. Like, I can tell you this, you know, so I had a higher grade on Sauce Gardner. I also am grading Stingley based on how he has played recently. Now, if we want to take 2019, you know, obviously, I think the tape that you have on Stingley is just as good as everything you had on Sauce. It included better competition in the SEC. It included more plays on the football in terms of interceptions. So, you know, you understand that. But, you know, instead of me telling you, I want to hear from Nick Caserio, because, you know, one of the things I started talking about on the show here, and one of the reasons that it was kind of funny, because our reality on the show here was that Derek Stingley was very much in play at pick number three. Because I was being told by a source at LSU that the Texans had been doing a tremendous amount of work on him. And I brought that into the show. That was just information I happened to get from one of my guys that I've dealt with over the years talking about LSU. And he doesn't steer me wrong. And he's telling me, man, this guy is coming in, this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy. So we knew that that was a possibility. If you've listened to the show, you knew it was a real possibility that they could do that. Nick Caserio yesterday in his press conference talked about, you know, kind of what went into Derek Stingley, not Sauce Gardner, but Derek Stingley being the pick.
I'd say there's definitely a consensus, I'd say organizationally, coaching staff, scouting staff. I'd say we put as much time and effort into Derek probably as any player. I'd say our area scouts and our over-the-top scouts did a phenomenal job of, you know, continue to delve, continue to research and make sure that we were comfortable with everything. Visited Derek, had a great visit with the coaching staff, had a great visit with everybody in the building. He's been a productive player, was a productive player early on in his career, had some, you know, bumps in the road there in 20 and 21, but in the end we felt comfortable with Derek. We think he's a good player. Kind of fits the profile of what we're trying to do, I would say, defensively.
I want you to – and play the first cut. I want you to play the first cut off the – there's a very specific one I want you to get to, RJ, the very first one that Cody attached, because he talks about the skill set. Like, Nick, I will tell you something now, listening to these – I got up so I could listen to these clips from Nick Caserio, because he really gave answers. Like, for the first time, I'm hearing Nick Caserio – is telling Houston Texans fans what they need to know. And he talked specifically, you know, about what kind of player Derek Stingley is and the type of cornerback that you can expect to see. So, RJ, if you have that available right now, you can just let me know in my ear, whatever. I'd love to hear from Nick Caserio talking about the type of cornerback that Derek Stingley is. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Runs well. He plays with good technique, plays the ball well. He plays under control, plays with good anticipation. I think one of the benefits of watching him and following that program, you know, going back, I mean, they've had a lot of good players come through there. You know, Jamar was there. Terrence Marshall was there. Justin was there. So you had the opportunity to kind of see him work against those types of players, which I would say is indicative of the types of players that we're going to see, you know, our whole team and the defense is going to see on a regular basis. So combine that, I would say his football acumen is good, really cares about football. He's a technician. He's really devoted to understanding the techniques of playing the position.
So what Nick did, John, was he basically laid out the fact that there was, with Derek Stingley, you had an opportunity to see him against pro guys. What he's telling you is, and in league circles in the NFL, there is famous coaching tape. LSU kind of leaked this out here, out there to NFL scouts just because they wanted them to see it. There is very famous tape of Jamar Chase and Derek Stingley and Justin Jefferson and Derek Stingley going at it in practice. And some of it is physical. Like, Derek Stingley is aggressively smashing Jamar Chase, like aggressive with his press to the point that you thought they were about to fight. And that watching him in tape, and they showed some of it on the broadcast yesterday. As a matter of fact, I remember seeing some of it, watching him hound the routes, watching him match up against Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson. I think the Texans basically are telling you, we saw him against pro guys. We know what he's capable of doing. And once again, this is going back to the 2019 tape. It's relying upon the 2019 tape. But Nick told you specifically the reasons from a cornerback standpoint, from a play standpoint, why they like Derek Stingley.
Well, and here's the deal, is you're not playing Alabama every game, right? You're playing him once a year. We saw him against Clemson and their wide receivers in the national championship game. But day in and day out, dude was going against Chase and Jefferson and Marshall. And you, how much better are you going to be? Now, you could talk about Sauce Gardner and, you know, what kind of competition did he play against in the AAC? What kind of competition did he play against every day in practice? And if Stingley is holding his own against Chase and is holding his own against Jefferson, as a freshman, let's not forget either, that he was facing Jefferson and Chase as a freshman. You know, that is going to be much more, that's going to be much better experience than playing Vanderbilt's wide receivers or Kentucky's wide receivers. So, absolutely. This guy has been seeing pro competition his entire career. Now, are you a little worried about the Liz Frank? Are you a little worried about the injuries and being nicked up?
No, I'm not actually. I thought it was a little bit overdone. Not overdone, but I'm personally actually not that worried about it. I hate to say it, I feel like some of that was almost kind of just cruise control stuff. You know,
and that's okay too. And that, I mean, so but some people will hold that against them. I don't know. Does NFL teams, are they didn't hold it against Jamar Chase. Jamar Chase just said, I ain't doing this, bye. And you know what? Jamar Chase is pretty darn good. And you know what? Stingley felt like, hey, I'm a pro. I want to get out of here. I know I'm going to be a high draft pick. I want my money. You know, it's not like LSU doesn't pay well, but it doesn't pay as well as the NFL. So, you know, I don't know. I'm not nearly as... I used to be, oh, man, where's the competition? Where's your fire? Where's your heart? My heart is in, you know, pay me for what I'm doing here. And that's how Stingley was. And you know what? That's okay, too.
Yeah, I'd rather, I mean, I'm not going to just say that I'm okay with not wanting to compete and just say, oh, not until I get my money. Because then it's just about the paycheck and it's not about the competitive fire. And I don't know that that's necessarily the case. I mean, I don't want to believe it is, because if it is, I think there are issues that are going to come up. If you're not happy with contract one, then all of a sudden are you going to be doing what wide receivers are doing? I mean, I think it's fair to question about the competitive drive over the last 2 years. You've done it on the show. I've done it on the show about Derek Stingley.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I that kind of stuff, I think he's got to answer that question. And we've been saying this the whole week, like Derek Stingley's got to show – the 19 Derek Stingley's got to show up. Because the 2021 Derek Stingley is going to have some problems in the NFL if he's not willing to come up and tackle. You know, the UCLA game was atrocious. It was atrocious, but it was also his first game back from injury, and LSU will be quick to tell you the guy hadn't had a lot of live contact and hadn't had a lot of hitting and things like that. But I know from a talent standpoint, from a trait standpoint, there's no way that Nick Caserio didn't look at Derek Stingley, you know, and see some Stephon Gilmore, see the big guy who could run and have the talent. And I thought it was interesting because there's always talk about smokescreen, right? Smokescreen, smokescreen, smokescreen. This is a smokescreen. Well, it started to come out, and I brought it to the show, you know, a couple weeks ago. I brought it to the show about, hey, Derek Stingley, the Texans are doing a lot of work on Derek Stingley. I'm starting to think, and then all of a sudden it turned into Derek Stingley is a real possibility at three, and then Mike Tannenbaum had it on ESPN, and Peter King had something. And so you start worrying that, man, this is – but you know, it, one of the reasons it got out. So Lovie Smith told us in a press conference, man, we got to get cornerbacks. Our cornerback is a problem for us. Lovie said that out loud. Lovie told us out loud. Now, what's the general? Well, that's a smokescreen. Why would the team tell you what they're going to do? Well, number one, no one was coming ahead of the Texans to get Derek Stingley. And when the Lions probably heard when it got to them that Derek Stingley was in consideration, if you pay attention to this stuff closely, you would have heard that the Lions supposedly were considering Stingley. There was that rumor that came out sometime last week, which it kind of fizzled out. But that's because the Lions, I'm sure, got wind of the Texans considering Stingley. So they wanted to, we're looking at Stingley too, to see if they can get Nick Caserio to panic. And Nick's not the type of guy. He's not a Johnny come lately. So he's not going to give you a draft pick and move from 3 to 2 like Chicago did whenever San Francisco pulled the shenanigans on them with the quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky. So I think the Texans basically just, you know, they knew they needed cornerback. There was somebody specifically from the Texans that kind of was telling some different people, John, and it made its way out there. But it wasn't smoke. It was obviously very real.
Well, right, absolutely. You had, and I don't remember anybody having Stingley up there before you did. So that was weeks ago that you put Stingley
up there. Yeah.
And we will talk. Let's talk Kenyon Green on the other side. Right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But, and I hear everybody thinks I'm broadcasting from a toilet. I'm not. I'm in an office. Unfortunately, I have a mic issue, so it's going to sound a little hollow and tinny for everybody out there. I apologize for that. But we're here, and we're here for a couple of hours this morning to talk about all of this, and you can get in at 713-780-3776. Kenyon Green, we'll hear from him, the Houstonian, that's going to stay in Houston on the other side. Right now, how about these Houstonians, the Chastains? I'm telling you, you will not meet nicer people. You will not meet a better CEO as far as running a business, philosophy, niceness, wonderful to employees, wonderful to all of his clients. There's a reason that the Chastangs were the number one dealer in the city of Houston on commercial vehicles, because other businesses just trusted them. They just said, oh, you're going to give us the best price that we can get. You're going to customize it exactly how we want it, how we need it for our business. You are going to give us service, like I said. You're going to give us price. You're going to do all of these things, so that's why we're going to go with you. And he's doing that as well, and they're all doing that as well on the retail side too. Now, you want to customize your vehicle? You can do that. You have to do that, because right now it's so hard to get a new vehicle. You customize it, and it'll get to you. You want to buy a pre-owned vehicle? They've got them on the lot as well at wonderful prices. They've got all kinds of pre-owned vehicles. As a matter of fact, my daughter's looking at one from Oklahoma City. She's going to go come all the way down here because they're so much better than up there. You're looking for that kind of class in a dealership. It's Chastang Ford. ChastangFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown Chastang Ford.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Houston's longest running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I'm live at Pine Forest Country Club. Our member guest today, so we're going to have a lot of fun out here. Tommy Wolfenberger doing an unbelievable job putting this thing together. Just perfect, perfect. The course is perfect. So having a big day. Was going to take the day off, but can't do it because the Texans have made two picks, and Lance Zierlein got them both right. He got the daily double. He hit Derek Stingley and Kenyon Green. Now, we talked about Derek Stingley playing against great competition day in and day out. Kenyon Green talked about how the SEC helped him get ready and be a great player in the league.
It helped me out a lot. You know, you're playing against, you know, great players each week. So, you know, it don't get no better than that. So, you know, going through that, that, you know, every week it's like a gauntlet. So, you know, you got to be prepared and ready for each battle you have, you know, each week.
That's Kenyon Green, the Houstonian, staying home, close to home. How about that? You had a couple of guys who were staying close to home. Kenny Pickett is going to Pittsburgh. And, you know, just a right, actually the same building that he was playing in as in college. And now Kenyon Green is staying here in the city of Houston after growing up here and playing at Texas A&M. Lance, you, after you had Stingley, a lot of people, you know, jumped on board on the Stingley thing, including McShay and Kuiper and all of those guys. They jumped on Stingley, but you're the only one that had Kenyon Green. How did you get Green? How did you know? What is there anything you could tell us about how you knew about Kenyon Green?
No, I mean it's just doing the work. I mean, here's my thought process. That came from no Stingley. I got something from someone at LSU that just said, "Hey, man, I'm telling you, the Houston Texans are putting a tremendous amount of work and sending a lot of people at Stingley." With Kenyon Green, it was just a matter of doing my homework and understanding the draft board and understanding draft philosophy. I mean, it's just, I'm not tooting my horn. I'm just telling you my process. You just kind of have to know the process. You have to know what the Texans' needs are. You have to have an understanding of philosophy and know who the, you know, how the players play and kind of have a good grade on them and an understanding. And so what I did was, I know the Texans want to run the football and get tougher. I know that Pep Hamilton runs a lot of gap scheme, which is really a downhill rushing attack, right? You got to be able to be powerful. And Kenyon Green is, as I said on the radio, is the most powerful drive blocking guard that I studied without question. And so what I did was I took a look at Stingley at three. So the needs on the Texans side are pass rusher. It is offensive line across the board, and it's, you know, in cornerback. So those are the three that we isolated. And so once, you know, understanding the board, once you get to 13, my thought was, okay, the tackles that they would want are going to be off the board. The pass rushers they want are probably going to be off the board. I already had an idea that they, you know, I would have put, well, my mock draft had Jermaine Johnson already gone, but I know that the Texans weren't crazy about Jermaine Johnson, so I was able to eliminate him. Same thing with Kayvon Thibodeau. So I kind of eliminated those guys from consideration. And so when I got to 13, I told you yesterday, I thought it was kind of a dead zone, right? You may have to either trade up or you may have to trade back because it's not, it's kind of a dead zone. And so what I did was I knew 13 was a little bit early for Kenyon Green, But he is a butt-kicking guard who can really get the running game going and who is a physical presence on the field. And so what I did was I looked at the way the board laid out. I looked at what the Texans' needs were. And I just said, look, this is the guy that if you can't have Ikem Ekwonu, who I think would have been their pick if they went in a different direction, if you can't have Ikem Ekwonu, who's kind of a butt kicker, then why not Kenyon Green? So it's the same mindset that Ikem Ekwonu might have given him. And so I just plugged in the guy that made the most sense to the Texans. 13 I knew was a little early. But then what Nick Caserio did was trade back two spots to 15 and grab him. So it was just kind of understanding who Kenyon Green was, understanding what the board looked like in general, and then understanding what the Texans are trying to do. Now, I didn't have information, but I just, you know, I study this stuff. And I think all of us who watch the Texans understand they're light in the ass as a run blocking team. And so why not go get a guy that's a plus-plus run blocker? And so that's how I got Kenyon Green. There wasn't any kind of inside intel. It was just an educated guess. That's all it was.
Well, you're the only one that had that educated guess, that's for sure. I didn't see anybody else.
Most people had him in the
20s.
Most people had him in the 20s, but that's – honestly, John, his draft grade – I need to pull up his draft grade, but his draft grade where I had him, I mean, I think – I personally think they drafted him about where he graded out. Like, I think 15th. I think he's probably 15th on my board, probably a little bit earlier.
Really? Yeah. Well – you know, the question was, okay, so still there was Jordan Davis, still there was Kyle Hamilton, mm-hmm. that the Texans could have picked, and then they made the move. I was driving around last night a little bit, and I heard, man, the flagship, you would have thought it was the Kyle Hamilton show, mm-hmm. how in love they were with Kyle Hamilton. He went the pick before, but let's remember, the Texans traded back and gave Philadelphia. Philadelphia moved up for Jordan Davis, and then Kyle Hamilton went with the next pick, and then Kenyon Green. I thought Kyle Hamilton was out of it because they took Derek Stingley. I don't think there was any way they were taking two defensive backs there.
No. Once, yeah, you're right. Once he went, I mean, you could have, and I have Kyle Hamilton ranked as the top player in the draft, but honestly, I don't have a lot of conviction with it right now. Just once everything has taken place, it's you just don't feel great about any player being the top player in the draft. And by the way, I have Kenyon Green, the 15th best player in the draft. I have him one spot behind Trayvon Walker. I have him one spot ahead of Charles Cross, to give you an idea. So my board, you know, looks a little bit different than they have him nationally, but I think you're right. They were not going to just draft. If you know something, okay. So here's the other thing. I also understand how Lovie Smith typically works, and it's not to draft cornerbacks first. But when Lovie is in a press conference talking about the need for Derek Stingley, sometime when GMs and head coaches do that, it's because they want to prepare a fan base and prepare the media for something that may be coming. The reality of what's to come for future questions and, you know, for future understanding of what's out there. Charlie Casserly did that to me back when I was at 6'10" before the pick when they were going to pass up on a couple of good players, including Sed Benson. He wanted me to know basically by telling me some stuff before I did the draft show on 6'10" that afternoon that Sed Benson was not going to be on their board. And so, you know, he wanted to prepare me since I was going to be on the broadcast. Well, with Derek Stingley, they wanted to prepare people that cornerback is going to be, you know, one of the picks, and it would seem early at 3. It certainly seemed early when we first started talking about it, and it still seemed early to a lot of people locally and nationally. For Kyle Hamilton, listen, they're not going to draft a safety after drafting a cornerback, and especially a safety who is like a 4.7 safety. That was just 4.7 meaning, you know, his 40 time at his pro day. That's just not something they were going to do. And if you believe in traits, height, weight, speed, that speed part is part of it. And I think Kyle Hamilton probably, I'm sure they liked him a lot, and I'm sure he would have been in consideration in different contingencies if, you know, if he had run a little bit better. But you're right, John. Once they had Derek Stingley, it was time to go focus on another area of concern, not just the back end. And that's where Derek Green, or that's where Kenyon Green came.
Well, and I think you're right. And they know their team. You said it. They were light in the ass, and they need to bulk up. both sides of the ball. It'll be interesting to see what they do today. You were up late. Mm-hmm. Let's do that on the other side.
Yeah, I'll give you the
37th pick. What do you
think? I feel good about it. You better stay right here because I'll give you exactly who I've got the Texans taking. I got second and third. I didn't get in bed until 3:30 a.m. Central. So it takes a long time to get this stuff done. And, you know, I spend a little bit of time on Texans. The other stuff I'm just trying to – let's just get this thing done. With the Texans, I'm trying to get it right. So I'll tell you who I had the Texans taking with the first pick of the second round. I think you're going to be very interested in this one.
Well, I'm sure you're hungry being up that late. You should. If Jax was there, you could have eaten the Jax.
I know. You know what sucks is the cool thing is at NFL Network, there's snacks all over the place, and you can just take whatever you want. You don't have to pay anything, and that's great. But it's, you know, bags of doodads and kettle corn and all that. And I'm like, I want the wings from Jax. I want the tater tot stack that they have. With the, you know, it's like, imagine a plate of nachos, but only it's tater tots on the bottom. Yeah, I like it. I'm basic. That's fine. I would love to have the chicken fried steak or the chicken fried chicken, or how about the burger? Last night, would I have given anything for that backyard barbecue burger or just a bacon cheddar burger? But backyard burger has both of those on it, by the way. Listen, you can find the meals that you want, including loaded baked potatoes, which I think is one of my favorite lunches to have as well. There's so many different items to choose from. A lot of comfort foods, a lot of foods that you know, I think picky eaters were like, the hearty eaters were like, and even people who are eating light, they'll like it as well. So the menu is very friendly for a variety of types of eaters, but it's also very friendly for people who are watching sports. So if you go in there, you can sit down, you can grab a beer or margarita. The kids can grab a soft drink. You can grab a soft drink, and you get a variety of different types of foods while you're watching your favorite games on TV. It's a great place to go hang out with another couple or you know, with family. You sit on the patio and just sit and kick it, and your kids are doing their stuff on this side of the table, and you're on this side having the grown-up talks, or you and your buddies are there having beers, watching a game, just shooting a bleep. That's what I'm talking about at Jack's Grill. Yeah, I do want you to check out the Jack's Grill website so you can see the great foods that they have available for you. But it's going to be one of your go-to spots that you rotate into the rotation. I promise you that much. There's three locations around the Houston area. It's a great comfort food, but there's food for every different type of eater at Jack's Grill. That's Jack's Grill.
ESPN 97.5.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lance and I both, neither of us in studio. I'm still in Houston. Lance is in L.A. You can watch his work all day long, NFL Network. You can stream it, NFL.com. Is it NFL.com, Lance?
Yeah, NFL.com. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you got that. We would be remiss if we didn't mention the Astros win with Verlander, six innings of one-hit ball. The Astros finally scored in the top of the seventh. Jordan singled to left, scoring McCormick. And then the Rangers came back with one of their own, so they're tied. We're in the eighth inning, and Kyle Tucker comes up and hits a two-run homer. And, boy, Justin Verlander couldn't have been happier getting that. And then he was done after 91 pitches. He was going to get a no decision after he pitched so well. Four hits, eight strikeouts, and 91 pitches through seven innings. So nice job by Kyle Tucker coming in and pinch hitting. He's played in every game now. They gave him the day off because he started every game. But, man, is that guy red hot after such a slow start. Dude is really raking right now, so that's nice. All right, this is mostly Texans Day and NFL Draft. We'll get to the rest of the draft in just a little bit. But you stayed up and you did your second and third rounds, which will be today. So who you got the Texans at 37 taking?
Yeah, so at 37, and I think this is a real possibility. Let's see if I can keep the hot streak going. I've got the Texans taking Breece Hall, running back from Iowa State.
Yes.
You look at how this plays out. So here's what it looks like now. There was the most amount of first-round drafts ever in the first round yesterday. I think either eight or nine. It was the most trades ever in the first round of a draft was yesterday. So it shook up a lot of the picks. It was the most players from one team in the first round. Georgia with five players in the first round. Lewis Seen was the last pick for Minnesota. They moved up and they got Lewis Seen, the safety. So that's the most picks from any team in the first round in history was Georgia yesterday as well. But it also altered with all the picks that went on, we had three different second round picks come up. So it's going to be Bucks picking first. It's going to be Vikings second and Titans third. I don't think the Bucks with their first pick are going to take a running back. With the Vikings, you have Dalvin Cook. I don't see running back. Titans, Derrick Henry. It could be a sneaky pick, but I don't think the Titans.
They still got Foreman, too.
Yeah. No. Foreman left.
Oh,
Foreman
right.
left. Yeah, he's on a different team. Now, here's the tricky one. The Giants, right before the Texans, are the scary one to me. Because they have Saquon Barkley, but this could be it for Saquon Barkley. So the Giants would concern me a little bit because they've already grabbed two good players in Kayvon Thibodeau and Evan Neal, but they still have a need at cornerback, for example. So I gave the Giants Andrew Booth, but see, I just wanted to get him out of the way. Andrew Booth's got a core muscle injury. It's the second time he's had a surgery on the same injury, and it's what caused him to fall out of the first round. He's a cornerback from Clemson. So he fell out of the first round, and he could fall even more. So I would say that's a little bit of a concern for me, but N'Kobe Dean, who I have going right after the Texans, could be in play there. Roger McCreary from Auburn could be in play. So when you play it out, the Texans would have Breece Hall fall to them. Well, it's great to have a kick-ass guard in Kenyon Green who can move bodies around, but you also need a legitimate running back. And the Texans have Marlon Mack, which is great. But the NFL now is based on – it's based on two-back systems. So I think Breece Hall would make a lot of sense there, and I think the Texans could be in play for Breece Hall at pick number 37.
What about wide receiver there?
Yeah, so wide receiver's a possibility too. I still on the board, and I actually have the wide receivers falling. I've got Christian Watson, who I just don't have grades there, John. I don't think Christian Watson should be taken there. I think it's a little bit of a reach, but I could see Christian Watson in play. It's another big wide receiver who has vertical speed. Sky Moore is more of a route running type with some speed, so Sky Moore could make some sense there. So absolutely, I think, you know, it's possible. If you wanted to go safety, Jaquan Brisker and Nick Cross, Jaquan Brisker from Penn State, Nick Cross from Maryland are two names that you could watch if the Texans wanted to go there, if they wanted to go with pass rush. And that, I think that's what you really, if I'm being honest, pass rush is probably the favorite in that spot at 37.
Boo.
And let me give you the
Boo.
Names. What's that?
Who?
Boy Mafe.
Yeah.
Boy Mafe from Minnesota, who is a long, explosive player who I think is still a little underdeveloped. He would be a guy that would fit Lovey Smith for sure. Arnold Ebiketie from, if I had to guess, Mafe or Ebiketie would probably be the favorites. I think both of them could be off the board. They could be picks. You know, they're just really good football players. Minnesota has transitioned to a 3-4, so Ebiketie or Mafe could make some sense for them at pick number 34. But the Texans, if I had to guess what the favorite would be, I'd say Mafe, Boy Mafe from from Minnesota and Arnold Ebiketie from Penn State would be the two that you need to keep an eye on, because we know that pass rush is a need for the Houston Texans. So those would be the two guys that I think would be the favorites. But just on a hunch, basically, I'm going to guess that the Texans are going to follow up with that run game, because getting the run game taken care of really helps our quarterback, Davis Mills. So I'm going to stick Breece Hall there, and I'm going to see what happens.
I love that. I love that pick. I've been a big Breece Hall. And I've seen Mafe to the Texans as well in a few different places. So I believe that as well, that that's a real possibility too. And I wouldn't feel too bad about it. Listen, they need a premier running back. Yes, you need a premier running back. You can block all day if you don't have anybody. Marlon Mack is nice, but you need a guy that is going to be tote the load and be, well, but you got Arian Foster as a, yeah, that, how many Arian Fosters are undrafted? I mean, it just doesn't happen. You got to put something into the position, which they haven't done any of. They really haven't put anything into the position for a while now. So get that job done. 713-780-3776. Andy is on hold. If anybody else wants to talk about the Texans,
yeah, let's go.
Lance, any questions? Andy, what's going on?
Lance hits a homer and then a grand slam on the first round. Nice going, Lance.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, so we got 11 picks left. How many second rounders, how many third rounders are we going to wind up with tonight? I see at least 2 second rounders and 3 third rounders.
How many are they going to pick, you said?
Well, yeah, I think moving up, I think you can get another second and another third.
Well, I think they're going to package picks and move up. Yeah, I don't think they're going to make all those picks that they have. Well, they've got what? They've got one pick in the second round and two in the third round, I believe is what I'm looking at here. And I'll go through what those picks are in the third round, but in the second round, I do think that you will see Nick is going to move around. He's going to move back, then he's going to move up, and he is going to dance around with picks. That's how he grew up with Belichick, and that's how he knows it. That way you target the players you want based on the way the board is laying out. And I do think Nick Caserio is not going to make picks where he is slotted. I think they just have so many picks to play with that I think he's going to kind of try to manipulate the board. We saw last year, John, he didn't even have a first and second round pick.
Yes.
And he's still manipulating. He's packaging picks to move up here or there. So I think he's going to dance around. Let me give you the rest of I've gotten the third round in terms of the rest of the mock draft. There's one pick in the second round. I've got Breece Hall. In the third round, I've got the Texans taking with the 68th pick. I've got them taking pass rusher Nick Bonito from Oklahoma. Very athletic pass rusher, a 3-4 outside linebacker type.
Why is he lasting that long?
He may not. He may go in a second. He just lasted that long because I was tired and I couldn't find a place to put him. And I've slotted him at the back. I have a 2-3, meaning I do think this is about where he could go, late second to early third. So he is actually I'm plugging him into where I think he could go. He's a little undersized, John. He's not good against the run because he's not big enough. This is one of the reasons he could fall. Some people may not see him as a guy who can stop the run. He almost has a body type more of a 4-3 linebacker, honestly, than the 3-4 outside, you know, edge guy who sets the edge. He's not going to be an edge setter, but he's a guy who is a basketball, like his athleticism is basketball. Like he's got Euro steps that he uses for his pass rush. He can move inside or outside with just really electric feet and foot quickness. And he is good at getting after the quarterback. Is he good at stopping the run and setting edges? No. Is he good at getting the quarterback? Yes. Texans still had a need at edge rusher, so I put him number 68 there. And then in their last pick in the third round, pick number 80 that they got from the Saints, the Houston Texans, I have taking Alante Taylor. Alante Taylor is a cornerback from Tennessee. He is long-limbed. He's a little bit stiff. He is extremely physical, but he also, a lot of people believe he can play safety. He's got a safety mentality. He will smack the taste out of your mouth. And I think because he can play corner or safety, because he is a strong, you know, potentially a cover three, cover two type of guy who can play some zone or play press man, I think he kind of fits what the Texans like. I like the versatility of being able to play safety or corner. And so I ended up giving them some more defensive back help there because, you know what, John, at the end of the day, I mean, Love even said they may need more than one cornerback. He said it in a press conference. So I took him at his word. He wasn't lying about the first time when, you know, we're basically was telling you they were taking Stingley. He wasn't lying about that. So I don't think it's crazy to think that the Texans could take another cornerback here. And I like the fact that if they want to move him to safety, they can do that. I don't think Lonnie Johnson's long for this team. I mean, I expect him to be there this year, but I think he's done after that. And so Alante Taylor, I think, will slide into that role of playing long cornerback with a chance to roll over to safety.
All right, when we come back, your calls. You want to talk to Lance about anything NFL draft, the preeminent draft expert, and he proved it last night. 713-780-3776 to get in here. And let's talk about what the other teams did. Let's talk about the whole draft and how it played out for you. Lance, you can give grades and you can talk about who did well, who didn't on the other side too. Right now, though, we're talking about GiveMeTheVIN.com. We're talking about selling your car. Sell us your car. GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's right. It's so easy. You can do it in your underwear. You don't have to do it in your underwear. You can do it in your underwear unless you're Zooming there. Please put clothes on. If you're going to Zoom with John Clay Wolf and the rest of the people over at GiveMeTheVIN.com, I can tell you this, it's a matter of seconds. You don't have to Zoom. All you have to do is go to the website and put in your VIN number or your license plate, and they'll tell you everything about your car, and they will tell you how much they'll give you for your car. And you sell it, and you make as much as you possibly can, because guess what? You will make a bunch off of that car if you sell it to GiveMeTheVIN.com. You're going to get more than you would get at CarMax, and if they can't be CarMax, they're going to send you $100. So you want to sell your car. You want to get as much as you possibly can. It's a car, okay? Unless you're giving it to your nephew, niece, your kids, whatever the case may be, then you want to get as much as you possibly can for it. Or you might want to get as much as you can from them, too. I don't know what kind of person you are. All I know is this. If you are going to sell your car, find out what it's worth, because you're going to get top value at GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
You're going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97. I know my mic sounds weird, everybody. I'm not in the toilet, okay? I'm in the offices here at Pine Forest Country Club. And I apologize for how it sounds. We'll get that fixed the next time, I promise. The next time I'm in a golf tournament, we'll get that fixed, okay? I promise you that. 713-780-3776 is the number. We've got a caller in here. Oh, we got Lance. It's the lines are full. We'll get to everybody else, but people want to talk about their Houston Texans today, so let's let them get in. Todd is first up here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Todd, how you doing?
Morning. Good morning. How are y'all doing?
Good. Doing good.
I'm a Dallas fan, so I'm sure you are a little bit happier than I am. However, my comment that I was talking about, didn't Stingley was an athlete and everything, but when things went bad at LSU, practice, hit the pay, because it wasn't a winning team and all that. Did y'all see his reaction, or was I reading too much into his reaction when they showed that the Texans selected him? It almost looked like the older gentleman, maybe his father or whoever, had to, like, stand up and shake his hand and pull him to his feet to stand him. He did not look happy at all.
Who, Stingley?
And I'm just wondering if y'all see any future issues with, like, the clowny, the practicing and things of that nature. I'll hang up and listen.
I don't know. I tell you what, now, I do think, see, I think this is why the whole idea that, well, you know, I don't care if he just wanted to do it for money or he got bored at LSU. I mean, I want it to matter. What's going to happen if your team is not good? Are you just going to want to just bail and just Deshaun the whole thing? Like, I don't want that. That's kind of the new generation of player that we're starting to see, and that's actually what most teams are trying to avoid, that the guys who don't really are not in it for team. I'm hoping the Texans draft guys who do participate in practice, who try to get better and who try to work at, you know, bringing this city a championship or becoming competitive again. You know, I'm hoping that is the case. I didn't notice anything about what you're talking about with Derek Stingley. I think Stingley – well, let's hear from Derek Stingley, as a matter of fact. We got some sound from Derek Stingley talking about being drafted by the Houston Texans. So, Derek Stingley, cornerback, LSU, third pick of the draft, Let's hear from the man himself from his press conference. I don't care which one you pull, RJ. Let's just hear from Derek Stingley talking about being a Houston Texan.
That's a lifelong dream right there. I can't wait to get out there and get to work. I hope that whenever I get there, I show them that I work hard and I don't give up until I figure something out.
So I think one of the things Nick Caserio talked about, and we'll go back and replay some of the sound as the morning goes on, but John, one of the things he talked about is he felt like the football character, what we call football character, the willingness to put the time in, the work in, you know, you're working as hard on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday as you are on a Sunday. And I think that's going to be important to Nick Caserio. It was a huge Patriot deal. That's going to be important to Nick Caserio. The fact that he drafted Derek Stingley tells me that he's comfortable with the questions that the caller just asked about his football character. That's what that tells me.
Yeah.
But I understand the concern. I mean, hey, Stingley's background is his background, so I understand the concern.
Yep. All right, let's get Troy in here. Troy has been waiting the longest. Hey, Troy. Oh, Troy dropped. Let's get Brian up next. Hey, Brian.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm a diehard Steelers fan, and I was just heartbroken yesterday whenever they took Kenny Pickett. I really wanted Linderbaum, and seeing him go to the Ravens just made me sick. I haven't even slept last night. I'm so upset about it. I just want to hear Lance's breakdown on Kenny Pickett. And Eric, I mean, we already got a Pickett with Trubisky on the freaking roster, and we went and drafted. So I want to hear your breakdown, and I'll handle it.
All right. I mean, isn't it so Ravens that they fall into Kyle Hamilton, then move up and get the best center in the draft? Is like, I thought they maneuvered around that draft. Eric DaCosta had a great draft for Baltimore. I thought he did a great job. Kenny Pickett. So Kenny Pickett for back-to-back years had 13 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. He was a ho-hum guy, had a lot of pressure on him, was kind of nervous and scary in the pocket. And then the last year he had 42 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. That's that Burrow bump, right, where Joe Burrow went from kind of nothing numbers to this incredible season. Kenny Pickett on paper did the same thing. He throws with good anticipation. He is a full field reader, meaning he can scan through his progressions from left to right, right to left. I think he works out of a pro style offense, which is more than Malik Willis or Desmond Ridder, you know, has those moments too. So I think it's more than Matt Corral and Sam Howell and Malik Willis. Kenny Pickett is frankly the most ready to step into a situation. If you go just by tape, Kenny Pickett had the best year last year. He and Matt Corral were the two best guys on tape for last year. Kenny Pickett is a player who can step in and compete with Mitchell Trubisky early on for a chance to potentially get on the field. That's the good news. I think the bad news, and what ultimately caused me to shy away from him, because there is some good tape for Kenny Pickett. I mean, there is. You just didn't hear talk about him because he wasn't the Twitter favorite. Malik Willis was. And that's going to be a separate conversation we're going to have this morning, John, is how national narrative and draft media and social media push false narratives. And then the real deal comes up and you realize that was never even real. Like most things on Twitter, it wasn't real about Malik Willis. But when you get to Kenny Pickett has some pretty good tape. My biggest concern is that he will see ghosts in the pocket, and it's because he's been pressured in the past. He's got an internal mechanism, just like Drew Bledsoe used to have, where he gets nervous at a certain point. Even if there's no pressure, he feels pressure. And when you have that, it's rare to get out of it. And I think Kenny Pickett is a player who I can see having some poise concerns in the NFL, and that bothers me some. That really bothers me because I don't think he trusts his protection. He didn't at Pitt. It's going to be interesting to see if he does at Pittsburgh. But the problem is, once you get to be a player who doesn't trust your protection and gets happy, antsy feet and feels pressure where there are none, what NFL defense coordinators will do is they'll see it on tape, and then they'll start to exploit you. They'll show you pressure on one side. They'll get you nervous, and then they'll back that pressure out and bring it from the other side. Or they'll show you a mugged-up A-gap look with six men right there on the line, and they get you nervous. And then they'll drop three, and all of a sudden they're rushing three, and they're covering with eight. And I think Kenny Pickett could have trouble in the NFL with that. So it was interesting to see. I had them going with Malik Willis because I do think that he has the ability, even when he's not passing well, to kill you with his legs. Kenny Pickett's mobile, but he's not going to really hurt you with his legs. But obviously the Steelers, I can tell you the Steelers have a better chance to compete offensively earlier with Kenny Pickett. And I do have you taking Alec Pierce, wide receiver out of Cincinnati. So I'm giving them wide receiver help in the second round, just so you know.
Alec Pierce in the second, huh?
Yeah, right. From Cincinnati, yep. Hey, Cincinnati, we talked about that, John. Cincinnati's got guys. Like, Luke Fickell's done a great job adding guys at Cincinnati.
Absolutely. He's got, are you kidding me? He's got more draftable guys than, well, a few schools here in the state of Texas, which is crazy. Troy is back and wants to get on. Let's get him on quickly here. Troy, how are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good job on your picks, Lance.
Hey, thank you.
So you guys were talking, do you think Nick's really considering a running back with his next pick? I think they need one. Or do you think maybe he may go wide receiver? There's still some good ones left. I'll hang up and listen. Good job.
He could go wide receiver. When you look at the draft, the mock draft, I had a hard time. I ran out of wide receivers. I just don't think there's a tremendous amount of wide receivers in the second and third round relative to, you know, all this chatter about all this incredible wide receiver class. I think it fizzles out. And so if you want wide receiver, you better draft it with your first pick there. But for me, the better football players, I mean, I think Christian Watson from North Dakota State is a player the Texans could look at. But for me, his tape was fourth round. He didn't have great hands. He's a vertical guy pretty much only, although I think he's got a chance to be a lot more. He was good in the Senior Bowl, looked good in the combine. He's showing signs of becoming a better player. He played a lower-level competition in the FCS, but I still think that's a reach drafting him that early in the second. Boye Mafe and Arnold Ebiketie are the pass rushers that I think make sense there. They're better football players. Sky Moore, it just depends on what you think. I don't love Sky Moore. I think Sky Moore is solid. I don't think he's as great as other people. I didn't see him. You know, for me, I don't know. I had a hard time projecting him in the first, and frankly, he's a guy that I would look at, I guess, in the second round. I'd be okay with the Texans took him. I mean, I'm okay with it. My grade would be a little bit lower. I think they could potentially look at linebacker. That's a need for the Texans. I don't think N'Kobe Dean from Georgia. Now, he's a smaller guy who is coming off of some injuries, and so, you know, I can tell you once again, going back to the Patriot way, I use that as a guideline. They don't draft tiny linebackers. That's not their thing. They draft big guys, big, strong guys. And so Channing Tindall, that's too early for him early in the second. But if they were to move back, for example, from that pick, Channing Tindall from Georgia is the type of guy that they might take a look at, although I think I question his instincts. I'm not sure that he is as football savvy as Nick Caserio and the squad. In case you missed it, I've got Breece Hall, running back from Iowa State at 37. That's who my pick is.
I'm going to make a prediction that Nick moves up with his third-round pick and uses some of those picks into the second. Into the second
right.
with that.
I think you're right. Try to find four starters in the first four rounds. It wouldn't shock me, John, if they packaged one of the third-round picks and some, you know, with maybe their first pick in the third round and maybe a fourth round pick, something like that, and moved up so that they could get into the back half of the second to get a player they target. Yep. Maybe like Alec Pierce, you know, maybe somebody like that, for example.
Maybe. A wide receiver sure would be nice. That would be nice. All right, we're taking a break. You guys are on hold. We're going to get to you on the other side. We also got to get to the rest of the draft and who did well and who didn't, according to our preeminent draft expert right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Listen, you want to talk about people who know stuff, the Morley Law Firm, just awesome. And you might have some problems. I don't know what your issues are. If you've got some kind of a criminal complaint against you, unlawful weapon or burglary, robbery, whatever, any kind of DWI, drug crime, assault, whatever it is that you're facing, don't face it alone. You can't do this alone. You need some expertise. You need people who are going to be on your side and give you great representation. If you've got a personal injury case, you've been hit by an 18-wheeler, or you've had any kind of auto accident or wrongful death or medical malpractice, whatever it is that you're facing, Don't do it alone. Get some help. Get representation. You need it. You got to have it. If you are facing any kind of immigration problem, then you've got, hey, se habla en español, i.e. in the Morley Law Firm. They are really, really good. They've got in the range of what they can do for you. Hey, get in most instances, you get a free consultation. So call them up and start the process. Don't do this alone because you're just not going to get it done. MorleyLaw.com. MorleyLaw.com. 713-839-9955. You have any kind of an issue, let the Morley Law Firm help you out. 713-839-9955 or MorleyLaw.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.